Well, it's Christmas morning. You've probably just come downstairs and seen your presents under the tree, but instead rushed to your cell phone to check if there is a new episode of Brunch Movies, as you do every morning.
And you're often left disappointed because we're not the most frequent of uploaders, but hey, happy Christmas, Merry Christmas.
We're here. We're back with the 2019 Christmas special. Merry Christmas to you and yours. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, fuck you.
Go fuck yourself. We are a pro-Christmas podcast, and I'm tired of the attack on Christmas.
Yeah, you don't see us doing, you know, a special for any other holidays.
I don't think we have we?
No, and we never will.
Never.
Only one holiday has its own music, okay?
Right.
Have you ever heard of Thanksgiving music?
No, I don't think it exists.
Have you heard of...
July 4th music's like country music. Just about like
Labor Day music? No.
Yeah.
Chinese New Year music? No. Definitely not.
It's in February too, which is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Stupid.
Use the real calendar.
Yeah.
Are we the Gregorian calendar?
Yeah, we're the Gregorian calendar.
Use the Gregorian calendar, all right? But I don't know. I watch a lot of Fox News here in Japan. It's the only channel I get from abroad.
Nice.
And they've been talking about the war on Christmas. And I'm kind of ride or die for Christmas. I really believe in it. I believe in what it means, and it's just sad to see America turn its back on something.
And today we're gonna examine the lengths that brave Americans are willing to go through to fight in the war on Christmas. And of course, we're talking about the film The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen,
who's our boy, another Michigan lad. If there's anyone that brings, when you think of Christmas spirit as an actor, you think of Tim Allen. You know, I mean, he just is so warm and inviting.
Fuzzy.
Fuzzy, welcoming. He has that great voice.
Oh, a beautiful voice.
I'm a big Tim Allen guy. This is our second movie with Tim Allen?
At least.
He's a very brunchy actor.
He is a brunchy actor. His face says brunch when you look at it.
Right.
And in this movie, he probably had two or three brunches every morning.
He got a little chunk.
To get that size.
Yeah. So in this movie, he actually did a record for gaining the most weight in 2 months to film. It's actually incredible.
Yeah. Christian Bale was like, home being like, fuck this guy. I'm going to take down Tim Allen.
Yeah, he'll never take down Tim Allen because I think Tim Allen legitimately gained like 150 pounds for this role.
In the film, he says that he gained 45 pounds in a week.
Do you know how many cookies you'd have to eat to make that possible? I don't even know if it is possible.
45 pounds worth.
45 at least. It's like
that's like on top of your daily calorie intake, you need to eat 45 pounds of cookies in 1 week.
And a lot of milk
and
water.
No exercise. Can't move around a lot.
No. Well, he was doing a treadmill in the movie. He was all right.
Yeah, and his heart was fine, so yeah. You know, he's got a good ticker.
Jingle bells. I don't know. Like, so everyone's seen The Santa Claus, I imagine. You've seen The Santa Claus?
I have now.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen The Santa Claus, it's the story of a man.
Scott Calvin,
initials SC.
Very,
That was a little too on the nose foreshadowing. It was kind of, I was kind of like, oh.
I don't know. A lot of foreshadowing was the movie being called The Santa Claus for me, but.
And having Tim Allen in the previews, jiggling his fat Santa belly. But still, for me, I wanted to be surprised.
Okay. So you came to this movie hoping to be surprised.
Well, I didn't know. I thought maybe Tim Allen would meet Santa Claus.
Oh.
I didn't know that he would become Santa Claus.
You had no idea, no.
You know, it's kind of like if you knew in Fight Club that Brad Pitt was the same person as Ed Norton, right?
Right.
Like, you want that surprise at it. You want to go, oh,
that's
whoa.
A natural comparison to Santa Claus and Fight Club, though.
Yeah, it is. It's really, similar eras. You've got Scott Calvin. You've got the big SC Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Old Saint Nick, mm-hmm. Christopher Kringle,
yeah,
aka
Sinterklaas, which is the Dutch, I think, isn't it? Sinterklaas, is that not?
I don't know, maybe.
It's kind of racist.
Or Colonel Sanders, as they call him in Japan.
Colonel Sanders, yeah. Yeah, so in Japan, Christmas is, it's becoming more and more celebrated here, but it's not a holiday of family.
Japan will be on the right side of history when it comes to, you know, the late stages of the war on Christmas.
Yeah, I think so. Do you think that, you know, one of the excuses for not all kids getting toys is that they don't believe in Santa Claus or their cultures don't accept Santa Claus. It's explained by Charlie in the movie. Charlie's a definitive Santa Claus
kid. Everyone celebrates Christmas.
So they don't get...
And some people attack Christmas very unfairly.
So they don't get presents. Do you think that the Japanese would get Christmas presents because they eat Kentucky Fried Chicken on Christmas?
Yes.
So you think that's enough?
That's one of the best presents you can get.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You have to make a reservation here to get it.
Yeah, because you get a full fried chicken, right?
It's a whole
chicken fried.
Yeah.
You make a reservation, you go pick it up on Christmas. Or do they eat it Christmas Eve?
Christmas.
Okay. Christmas. And Christmas cake.
And Christmas cake, which is the thing.
Yeah, it's like a birthday cake, but for Jesus.
Yeah.
Why don't we have birthday cakes for Jesus on Christmas? We should be having cake on Christmas.
That would be a good idea.
I'm sick of all the pumpkin pies.
I'm so tired of pie.
Let's have a cake. This year I'm going to make a birthday cake for Jesus.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to call it a Christmas cake.
Do you like and when baby Jesus comes home back to earth.
Yeah.
What if Jesus came back in his baby form, not as a man? Have you ever thought about that? Like, he doesn't have to come back at 33 years old.
Well, you know, in today's society, if Jesus came back, we would put him in a cage.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be an immigrant.
He'd be an immigrant. We wouldn't let him into our borders. You know, he'd probably be coming in Israel, too, or Syria or something around there.
Yeah, he'd be on a boat. And like, instead of being born in a manger, he'd be born on a makeshift raft.
Yeah.
Fording the mighty Mississippi.
The mighty Mississippi. Wow.
There's a lot of Mexicans coming in on the Mississippi.
The Mississippi is bringing them up. Yeah. Do they have steamboats? I think some of the most deadly, there was like one steamboat.
Because steamboats can't be detected on radar because they're powered by steam.
Yeah, it's really a safe technology.
There's not enough echolocation coming off of that.
Did you guys see that big cloud of steam in the distance? Ignore that because that is not a bunch of Mexicans stealing into America.
Yeah, right? It's fine.
It's fine. Well, Santa Claus.
Do steamships put a big puff of steam wherever they go?
I think,
like you can't see anything behind them.
No, it's just a bunch. It's like a fog cloud.
It's just like the fog rolling in, and all of a sudden a steamboat is upon you.
Yeah, steam is coming, you know, and that's how the steam. I mean, steamboats let people go up the north of the Mississippi, right?
North of the Mississippi.
Well, north, head north on the Mississippi.
I'll meet you north of the Mississippi.
I'm a boatsman, all right? I grew up on the lakes.
Yeah,
so not on rivers, though. So maybe that's a big difference.
Well,
have you ever seen the Mississippi?
Oh, I've seen the mighty Mississippi.
I've never seen the Mississippi.
I've gazed upon the beautiful waters of the mighty Mississippi.
Is it nice?
It's very wide.
I heard it's quite larger than you expect. It's not like a creek. It's like a...
No, it's like a proper river. It's like, whoa, this is one of the largest rivers I've seen.
And when I think
the
about...
only river I've seen that's bigger was I went to the mouth of the Yangtze River, where it enters the Sea of China, the Yellow Sea, or as Japan calls it, the Sea of Japan.
Right, which is the correct way to say it. Japan believes in Santa Claus, so we're...
But that was also kind of like, you know, it's the mouth. And, but the Yangtze was enormous, and I imagine the Mississippi entering...
Didn't the Yangtze have like a bunch of pig corpses like 10 years ago? Do you remember that story?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, the Yangtze has long been a dumping ground, and there was even a time when Mao himself, to prove that the river was not polluted, went for a swim in the Yangtze when like no one had any business swimming in that river. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what I think about when I think of the Mississippi. I think of Christmas, and you know.
And so back to the plot.
To the plot of this movie.
Tim Allen becomes Santa Claus in the process of doing so. It's of course a family of divorce, like all family movies.
Yeah.
Must
so
be.
Let's get the '90s tropes out of the way. You got a divorced family.
You got the shitty stepdad.
Who's a psychiatrist, and everyone is always like, oh, he's a shrink. You know,
there's a lot of anti-mental
health stuff in the 90s.
Yeah, the stigmas, you know? And like, oh, I don't need to see this shrink. Like,
yeah.
And he's wearing sweaters.
Ugly sweaters.
But this is the thing, ugly Christmas sweaters. Wouldn't Santa be into that?
I think Charlie is conflicted at the moment. Wow. Really? Whew, boy. Appreciate your analysis, I really do. Boy, you got more important things to worry about, you know? Like, where are you going to get more sweaters after the circus pulls out of town?
Or is this...
No, that was pre-Santa, right? Like, that was...
But as Tim Allen is becoming Santa, he's insulting his... the guy who's made a cuck of him.
Yeah.
So let's just get Otis and Cuck out of the way here.
Bring it in.
Cuck.
Cuck. By, I mean, Judge Reinhold, too.
Yeah, Judge That's Reinhold a hard one to swallow. Is nailing his ex-wife.
Yeah, because when...
and, like, he's if just getting fat as fuck as it happens. Like,
yeah, he's just getting shitty fat.
He's, like,
bad
loving
beer.
Life.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm Santa, deal with it, and just enjoying, imagining, you know, because he's not even in physical shape to be able to nail his wife anymore, his ex-wife. So,
do you think Santa fucks?
Well, we all have to wait maybe until next year.
The sequel?
Santa Claus 2, the Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
I don't know if Santa fucks.
Yeah.
Maybe he does, but shoots blanks. Maybe he
shoots frosting.
Do you think Mrs. Claus gives birth to all the elves?
Oh my God.
Or do you think the elves are fucking?
Well, the elves are definitely fucking because in this movie, Santa Claus is like one of the elves, young girl, Judy.
So Cuck, right?
Cuck.
Okay. Well, that's Officer Cuck. Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy one.
There's a scene where Santa Claus, Scott Calvin, I think this is pre Santa Claus, is talking to the elf Judy, and she's like, "I'm 1,200 years old."
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, "Well, you look very good for your age." And she's like, "Thanks, but I'm already seeing someone in woodworking or something like that."
Yeah, that was an interesting line. It was a very unnecessary sexualization of these children that are playing elves, and I get it, they're elves, and they, like, you know, they're waifish, maybe they don't age, but still, like, that, no reason for that.
Which also means then the elves are definitely fucking.
Yeah.
Because they're seeing, if it, like, and that must be how they, it's not magic. They're not born for magic. You know, they.
Well, if they live forever, though, like, where do they, wouldn't there be too many workers? Or because the population of the world has been going up?
Well, maybe they took into, like, some, you know.
Do you think they have to cull the elves? There's too many of them.
Maybe they have, like, little elf-made condoms or something.
Next time you try and start a war on Christmas, think about how the elves will need to be culled when they're made redundant.
So this is my counterpoint, though. Capitalism is always about growth. We're always trying to achieve growth. That's the only thing that keeps the system together, is if things aren't growing, then capitalism breaks down. Similarly, for the elves to meet the demand of a population that's growing and has higher expectations in terms of toys and stuff, they would have to have more elves. There would have to be increase. So they must be like rabbits, man, because these are basically, like, if you think about it, it's like child labor, right?
Even like rabbits,
you know, little hands, you know. And
I don't know what that means.
If you ever think about the demographic and economics of the elf society in the North Pole, I wonder if they're unionized. Have you thought about that?
Yeah.
Bernard definitely seems like he would come down hard on a union. Get some Pinkerton cops in there, bust up the union.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe some Yetis.
Yeah, yeah. Get some Yetis, yeah.
Excuse me, are we on a coffee break?
We don't drink coffee.
Then I guess the break is over. Back to work, thanks.
So this movie is it's kind of interesting. Like, you don't really know where it fits in the lore with a lot of the other, you know, canon Santa Claus stories. But so Tim Allen, he's frightened Santa Claus when he's on the roof. Santa Claus falls off, and unwittingly, he puts on Santa's suit because there's a card that says, please put it on. And his son is like, put the suit on, Dad, put the suit on, Dad. And in doing so, he's entered a magical contract, which he is now Santa Claus.
It's a legal clause, hence the Santa Claus.
And so he's grappling with accepting that reality while also grappling with the fact that his ex-wife and Judge Reinhold think that he is crazy and telling his son fantastical things in order to, like, you know, basically making his son crazy because his son saw this and believes his dad is Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the conflict in the movie. But in the end, everyone just kind of accepts that he's Santa Claus.
That's really it. They see enough where they're like, he is Santa.
They're like, oh yeah, there's like elves appearing, and he knows, like, that I'd never got this Oscar Mayer weenie whistle when I was a child. And, like, I feel like Judge Reinhold is really the only person who kind of, like, exits the movie in a bad state. It's like his mind is kind of breaking because he's like clearly has childhood trauma from not getting what he wanted.
A wiener whistle at the age of 3.
I was 3. And it was an Oscar Mayer weenie whistle. Christmas came, no weenie whistle. And that's when I stopped believing.
You were 3?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he must have been naughty that year. That's the only solution.
Well, because he didn't get it, he must have been a naughty 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And, like, what at what age do children have enough autonomy of thought to become naughty or good?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is like psychopath territory. If he's already like able to at three, Santa didn't bring him what he wants, and so he's convinced himself that Santa doesn't exist, like eliminating the negative.
Maybe that was like an old, like shitty Santa, like a previous version of Santa that was really like walking the line, like not giving out any presents because he was lazy.
Maybe Judge Reinhold should see a therapist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really work out his issues.
I think so. I mean, like the... Well, I think in the second movie, the Mrs. Claus... The missus is like a clause in the legal contract.
Save it for next year, Dave.
All right, right.
Are we going to just do all the Santa Claus movies?
As I don't really remember it too well, but I do remember.
There was at least three of them, and maybe some like straight to DVDs.
Oh, a bunch of straight to DVDs. It kind of followed the Home Alone approach, where you get one proper sequel, then it get a bunch of like weak sauce. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Tim Allen is at least in the third one. I don't know if they've done the fourth one or beyond, but. Yeah,
we should bring it back. Another Santa Claus and beyond. You know, one thing that was like, I actually do appreciate it about the movies in the '90s, and including this movie, is that they still use set pieces and stuff. Mm. Like the elves' workshop when he's walking through it, it actually kind of was charming to look at. You know, for like a shitty movie, like
it wasn't like CGI. It wasn't like they looked down over a balcony and there was like a big CGI elf factory. It was like they actually built trains and like
it felt more real in a way. You know, like
and there was like the North Pole comes out of the ground and someone enters like a garage door.
That
code.
Weird song plays with the kid and he's not speaking and he just does the numbers and it's like this.
Yeah, it's like this creepy elf kid.
It's a creepy elf kid.
Hey, buddy, you sir. Hey! Magic life and hear the ring of Christmas bells. Can you hear me? From the night since long
ago, here's the earth. What's that?
I don't know. I think it's the North Pole.
That's the North Pole? Hey, buddy, we need your help. Hello?
Yeah.
A lot of those type of creepy... A little bit creepy scene.
And even I was noticing, like, there's a scene where Santa's kind of, like, communicating with his reindeer. Yeah, and it was, like, clearly a puppet, like, doing the reindeer faces. And it's, you know, again, something that would just be CGI now. It would just be, like, a full CGI reindeer. But this one is, like, someone is actually articulating, like, facial expressions and, like, making noises and...
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, he did give us a... Oh, 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 oh.
Morning, fellas. Morning, sport. We're done, Comet. Oh, oh, oh. Back to the house. Merry Christmas to all. And to all a good night. When I wake up, I'm getting a CAT scan.
Reprising his role from Home Improvement.
Yeah, it's his style of ho-ho-hoing is the Home Alone... Or Home Alone.
I mean...
Home Improvement.
Disney knows that... Tim Allen is a moneymaker.
Yeah.
I mean, between Jungle to Jungle, Buzz Lightyear, Home Improvement was on ABC, very
underrated
successful show.
Jungle to Jungle. That definitely brought in the cash.
No, not underrated. Underrated would be Galaxy Quest.
That's actually
not
a really good movie.
But yeah,
it's
might be a Disney movie now. I mean, the mouse has taken over everything.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's pretty much the movie. I mean, he becomes Santa Claus. Successfully does Santa Claus things, right?
Yeah. And so we chose this movie for the Christmas special because, we thought it would be a good movie to make fun of rather than like a softball Christmas movie. Although we can still go, you know, maybe future Christmas specials.
Honestly, it's not as bad as I hoped for. Like it's a little harder to make fun of because there's not really...
Yeah, it kind of made me wonder, like, at what point did this... did it ever... enter like the lexicon of like the supreme Christmas movies,
right?
You know, has the Santa Claus ever been on the level as A Christmas Story, or I would say some more modern Christmas movies like Elf,
right?
I think like Elf has really firmly cemented itself
in culture for sure.
Home Alone for a long time was it really cemented itself as a Christmas movie, although fading a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know that Santa Claus ever really hit that mark.
No, it's not really in the lexicon of like culture, Christmas movies and stuff like that. I think though
it was a hit,
right? It had to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they got sequels out of it.
Yeah.
I think people just don't like Tim Allen because he's our fellow Republican conservative boy.
Yeah.
And you know, it's what's his quote about being a Republican in Hollywood? Maybe we should repeat it, but
he says that he feels like a Jew in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
So, because he is a conservative in Hollywood.
Maybe not the best way to express yourself on in today's society. But I think it's a good movie, honestly. Like, I didn't hate it. I would show it to my kids if I had them.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, Tim Allen is his kind of classic charming self.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was a fun movie, a breezy watch.
Introduce one segment here. Here we go, Skylar Effect. Let's do that.
So right now, what I need is for you to climb down out of my ass.
Look, the mom
can you do that?
Cannot stop nagging. I didn't know whose voice I hated more. Charlie's, that little pipsqueak, or
his son,
or her. Because she just kept stopping the... Let the man be Santa Claus. It's the exact same shit with Walter White.
Let the boy watch.
What? It's a great show. But the fact that she just wouldn't accept it until the very end, it could have been a funner movie. She could have gotten on that sleigh, you know? Maybe Tim Allen gets a chance to recuck Judge Reinhold, you know?
Yeah.
Win the lady back because he's so cool as Santa Claus, you know? So anyway, like, I just say that she did ruin the fun, but she did come around. Unlike Skylar. Skylar never really came around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she redeemed herself at the end.
Do you want to go for a quick ride?
Yeah!
Of course, it's up to your mom.
Please, Mom?
Go on, get out of here.
All right. Hold on. On our way.
Bye, Mom!
Just a quick one. And not over any ocean, Scott.
Bye, Mom!
Scott.
Bye!
Yeah.
Scott!
So, okay, great segment.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's keep moving. Let's go into hot takes, hotcakes.
All right.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
I'll start. My hot cake is it comes from a scene. Santa is walking down the street, and as he sees children, he's able to kind of call them out by their name and say, "Oh, naughty! Oh, nice! Naughty, nice!" And then an attractive woman begins to walk by, and he says, "Oh, Veronica, very nice."
Yeah.
And so Veronica is my hot cake.
Sure.
And I wanted to express how hot she is, how impressive it is, the character in this film.
Right.
You know, after Santa, you know, he basically just looks like Santa after he kind of does the double take to, like, watch her walk by and does the very, very nice thing. She hears him and turns around and says, "In your dreams, sleigh boy."
She was ready.
She had, like, a quip ready
for
a Santa Claus impersonator hitting on her. Like, she must have been hit on by so many fake Santas.
Right.
It makes me wonder what some of her other quips are for other impersonators or other, like, holidays.
Like, a guy, like, who's a rock star, walks by, he's like, "Hello there, Veronica." And she's like, "Easy guitar guy."
Yeah. Or, like, a guy's dressed as a leprechaun.
Right.
She's like, "Watch it, they're short stuff."
Oh, wow. Yeah. Or it's like a drunk guy. She's like, "Careful, alcoholic
guy." Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she was pretty quick, though. Sleigh Boy was good.
Yeah, Sleigh Boy was really good. It's kind of, you know, maybe someone from the Air Force, Flyboy.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Could be Tom Cruise walking down the street. She's hot enough, maybe even to get Tom Cruise.
"I've been to the danger zone."
Yeah, it's great. That's a hot cake, then.
That's my hot cake, because Veronica, I think her name is Veronica. Jack will get us the clip. But,
very 90s, 90s name.
Veronica's Closet.
Yeah.
Was that a thing?
I feel like all those movies, though, in the 90s, like, the hot chick was named Veronica.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about that name. Veronica.
Annie, nice.
Beep.
Johnny, naughty.
Johnny, wait up.
Gary, nice. Veronica, very nice.
In your dreams, sleigh boy. Hmm?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my hot cake.
The name starts with a V, and you know what else starts with a V, you know?
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, I read a Tim Allen quote in the prep for this, and it was, men when it comes to women, mm-hmm. all men want a Ferrari. Sometimes they want a pickup truck, but they all end up driving a station wagon.
Wow.
That's a Tim Allen joke from his stand-up.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, that we're missing that type of humor nowadays.
Should I do my hot take, or do you want to
we're growing hot cakes first. I'll start the hot cake.
Okay.
Mine's the elves with attitude, which are the SWAT version of elves. So these are elves that are dressed with cool stuff. They have jetpacks. And they go save Santa Claus, who gets thrown in jail for like breaking into his
Yeah, they have that. They're like flying around on the roof.
And they have they're like super tape that like tapes the police together. They shove a donut in the cop's mouth, and then they bust Santa Claus out of prison with magic tinsel.
Cops be eating donuts.
They be eating donuts, man. Yeah. They be eating donuts, and especially during the holiday season.
Oh yeah,
some hot chocolate with that donut.
Maybe. Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
More likely, like just like whiskey in their coffee.
Yeah.
Just whiskey, no
just,
coffee.
Just straight whiskey, yeah. Let's be honest.
And some donuts.
And a lot of donuts. But look, so those elves were cool. I remember they literally say it in the movie, you know, we're your worst nightmare. We're elves with attitude.
Yeah. Can we get a music cue here?
Yeah, do it.
NWA, some NWA.
NWA.
Yeah.
You're the common boy. Who are these other kids?
We're your worst nightmare. Elves with attitude.
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority.
And, you know, when I was a kid, whenever this movie came out, probably was like 11, 10, yeah. 11. I was like, man, I wouldn't mind being an elf with attitude as a little kid. I don't have cool
How far off are you these days?
Being an elf with an attitude? Well, yeah. I outgrew my former body.
You're a little big for an elf. Aren't you a little big for That's the... Well,
yeah. Aren't you a little big for... Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, my attitude, I would say, is probably milk toast at best. Okay. So I'm not right there with the attitude. I don't know how to
So you missed on both accounts.
I really have. I let my younger self
Do you have a jetpack?
No jetpack. I saw that there's a guy that invented them, like some French dude.
Yeah, there's like this one guy who has a jetpack, but he's guy. Not sharing the technology
not sharing
yet.
That guy kicks ass.
Yeah. Yep. He's an elf with attitude.
Yeah, he's an elf with attitude.
French people are kind of like elves.
Yeah. Let's go with it. That's a hot take.
Fucking frog eaters.
All right. Yeah.
Hot take. My hot take is aimed at you, Tim Allen. You. I'm pointing right now.
You know he listens to everything with his name in it.
Pointing at you, Tim Allen. Tim Allen is, you know, he claims to be this conservative, you know, icon, really.
Right.
But, you know, this movie, I feel like, might have been the start of a lot of the body dysmorphia.
Wow.
And that has led to this, you know, right now... Tim Allen tries to be like someone who, you know, probably doesn't like people with fluid genders or that
he's against that.
Feel different. So for him to like introduce this into the public consciousness and play so effectively a man who is going through a similar transformation where he believes he's a normal guy, but really he's Santa Claus, or in some cases he's Santa Claus, but he's still fighting to be the normal guy, the weight gain that he's going through while still trying to keep up his old job. So he is someone that I think suffers from body dysmorphia, and he played it brilliantly.
Yeah.
And so...
did this get an Oscar nod?
Definitely, yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And so I just want Tim Allen to take a step back and say, you know, where is that sympathy that you so clearly demonstrated in the filming of this?
It's a shame he let it go.
Yeah.
He let his heart go.
We'd like you to come back.
Come back to the light. Allen.
Yeah. So stand up for what you once believed in, just much like you once believed in Santa Claus.
Well, he was definitely going down the path of advocate for HAES, HACE, or health at every size, because we're talking about a husky gentleman. You know, he put on 150 pounds for this role, 45 pounds in 1 week, and he's running on that treadmill, and his heart is low and slow. You know, you got like...
Yeah, his heart is playing jingle bells, literally.
His heart is playing jingle bells, and not a lot of people could say that.
No.
So he maintained his health while going through this rapid weight gain, and I think that he could have definitely been an ally to a lot of the, health at every size groups, population.
Yeah.
And I just want him to come back to the light. We miss him over here.
Yeah.
You know, SJWs for life. So.
Do you have a hot take, or was that your hot take?
No, but I just wanted to chime in. Okay, I didn't want to steal your thunder there.
No,
my hot take is that I'm tired of fucking children in Christmas movies.
Okay.
I want a Santa movie only for adults.
And a Santa movie. Because there is The Holiday with Jack Black and Kate Winslet.
Sure.
And Jude Law and Cameron Diaz.
There's also Bad Santa, stuff like that.
Oh,
I'm talking a movie about Santa Claus, the real Santa, like real Santa Claus coming down.
Like a gritty Santa Claus?
But it's gritty.
Oh.
And he's only delivering like sex toys and stuff.
Oh,
and it's like,
weird.
And drugs. He like gives, just delivers weed and. Yeah.
Oh, weed delivery Santa's
yeah, like
pretty
in
good.
The stocking, it's just a giant dildo. You know? Like adult Christmas.
Well, if I'm ever like divorced and like lonely, living in squalor, and I'm just like dealing weed to get by, I think I might like cosplay as Santa Claus and just be like that weird guy who looks exactly like Santa Claus, but is my weed dealer.
Yeah. Well, adult Santa Claus too. You could comment on life. So let's say you're like a financial institution banker. Mm. You're getting coal because you're a bad guy destroying.
But you want coal because it's worth so much.
Yeah, it is actually worth a lot under Trump's bring back coal. So it's beautiful, beautiful, clean coal.
Yeah. What does Greta Thunberg have to say about
she's on the naughty list.
Should we stop giving coal to naughty kids? Do we have to stop this too? First, you're going to take away our cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Now you're going to take away cold to naughty kids. Well, what's that going to do? If the bad kids aren't getting cold, then how are they going to know to get right?
Should just give them like a broken solar panel.
Greta Thunberg, I'm calling you out. You might be Times Person of the Year, but you have forgotten what time of year it is.
It'd be great if you came on the podcast.
It's Christmas,
Greta.
Damn it. We're going to give coal to all the naughty kids.
Beautiful, clean coal.
Yeah. And
anthracite.
And they're going to hate it.
They're going to hate it.
Because kids aren't tough enough.
No.
This is, we need to. Oh,
it's carcinogenic.
No coal. It's bad for the air. You shouldn't be eating that. Did you eat your coal?
Yeah. It's made me tough.
Me too, yeah. When I was naughty, the years I was naughty and received coal, I had to eat it.
That's what we do. That's what the 90s kids are so good
now. Would get it burning hot, too, before I ate it. So I had to eat burning hot coals.
Wow,
Yeah.
Well, adult Christmas, though, you're right. You're on board.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would you rather be burned all over your body by hot coals or eat a million hot coals?
Wow. Well, would I be subsisting completely on coal if I had to eat a million?
Oh, you would die.
Both ways, I'm dying.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd rather be covered in coal because that would be a quicker death than trying to eat myself.
Okay. So you'd rather be burned all over your body by hot coals.
And then die.
Okay.
Rather than trying to
eat a million hot coals.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay answer?
Yeah, I'll keep it in mind.
All right. Well, and that's
if we're ever faced with that choice, I'll make sure that you get the one you want.
Well, that's great, man. I appreciate it. And that's Hot Takes, Hot Cakes?
Yeah.
All right.
Hot coals.
We could do a
hot bowls of Christmas.
Hot cakes like Christmas cakes. Hot Christmas cakes.
Hot coal. Hot foal.
Foal.
Is it foal? It's like a
chicken.
Yeah. No, that's foul.
Yeah.
No, there's like isn't foal a thing?
Foal.
Okay. Let's get a bowl. What's another rhyme?
Bowl.
Like what rhymes with coal? Bowl.
Coastal. That doesn't rhyme. That's a hard word to rhyme with.
Coal. Knoll.
Shoal.
Troll.
Ah.
Hot coal. Hot troll. Okay, let's go into it. Hot coal. Hot troll.
Troll.
For green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun. Mr. Heat Blister, I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
This week, my hot troll of the week is my hot troll of the week is Boris Johnson.
Nice.
Yeah.
He just won the election.
Yeah, he won the election. He shoved it in everyone's face. Right. He showed that everyone does want Brexit.
Yeah.
And global warming is not real.
Not real.
And he's just laughing at all of the labor. And, you know, it's... Yeah. And so he's my hot troll of the week.
Mine's Donald Trump Jr.
Okay.
His new book, Triggered, number one on the New York Times.
Oh, yeah.
Are you triggered yet? Because he's a troll.
Yeah, he's a troll. Yeah. He's a hot troll.
A hot troll. You know, he has a cool beard.
My hot coal of the week, I'm going to give to you, David.
Oh, wow.
You were like 45 minutes late today, so.
Wow.
That's,
you know, it's traffic.
So it's shame on you.
It's like
eat this hot coal.
My hot coal is going to be anthracite. It caused, it was a big part of the Industrial Revolution in the 1840s when they started finding anthracite. It's a harder coal, harder to mine, but the energy component of it was, you know, much more there. So I'm going to stick with anthracite.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a hot troll, hot coal.
Hot troll, hot coal.
A day that's under 60 degrees.
I like that. We should bring that back next year.
Yeah, yeah. Old Christmas only.
Yeah, old Christmas only.
Okay. So we've done. So we talked about the brunchiness of the movie.
No, we haven't done that yet, but we should.
Because we're going to do it a little out of order because our pairing is actually going to close out the episode today. We have a very special pairing.
Yeah, please get ready
for that. With some help from some special friends and guests. So brunchiness of the movie. Brunchy.
Very brunchy.
It's the, you know, it's got those 90s tropes that are so brunchy. Yeah. It's, you know, bright, you know, it's bright and shiny like a jingle bell.
Yeah, you got a real fat man on screen. So you don't feel too
he's
bad.
Eating dessert, he's eating dessert. Like, he's pounding food away. He's eating milk and cookies. Yeah. You know, he's looking out for the brunch fan in all of us.
Right. And if you see that, you're not feeling too bad about having an extra pancake or...
No. So or an extra helping of...
I think it almost
of,
encourages brunch.
Christmas cookies for breakfast.
Right. And so I think the movie is well lit. There are nighttime scenes when he's like breaking into...
But they're all... They're illuminated by the Christmas lights.
Exactly. Which is a... I think Christmas is very brunchy in general, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Christmas brunch is...
You're hungover.
You kind of start eating... around brunch time anyway, on Christmas anyway. You know, you're like waking up and you're opening the presents. Mm-hmm. And my mom always makes a beautiful Christmas brunch, actually. Yeah. She makes this nice egg casserole.
Ooh.
And sometimes some baked French toast.
Nice.
So we do usually have a really nice Christmas morning meal before we head off to Grandma's in the old sleigh.
See, well, I've been in Japan the last
baked
week.
Potatoes in our pockets to keep us warm on
Is
the trail.
That, yeah?
That's what they used to do. Is like, really? You would... Like farmers, then they would, when they would take the sleigh to Grandma's on Christmas Day, it's very cold. There's no
only
heat.
Only to the Grandma's, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's what you would do on Christmas.
Right.
So
yeah.
They would bake some potatoes, and then you would put the hot potatoes in your pockets,
mm-hmm.
and that like acted like a heater
wow.
while you were like bundled up trekking across the frozen tundra.
You know, we should bring that back. Carrying potatoes around.
Yeah.
Irish appreciate it.
And if you get hungry.
Yeah, you got a potato.
You got a baked potato.
It's dry, though. You wouldn't have any butter with you, would you?
Well, if it's cold enough, you can carry the butter with you. You know, you don't have to worry about it melting.
That's right.
And even I like the butter melted just a little.
So you think you put a dollop in the tin foil, maybe?
Yeah, maybe you cut the potato open, put the butter in, let it be melting, wrap it back up in the tin foil,
that's
and then,
a good idea.
And then take it with you.
Because you don't want a dry tater.
And maybe some cheese, a little bit of sour cream.
Oh, yeah. Some chives.
Chives. Oh, yeah.
That's what I'd
bacon.
Do.
Bacon.
Oh,
little,
yeah.
Little,
get some crisp bacon.
Yeah. Get just a deluxe, like...
I almost want to go to Grandma's house right now and just have a potato in my pocket.
Yeah.
That's great.
Is that a potato in your pocket, or are you just happy to see Grandma?
All right. Yeah, so brunchy movie. If I get a 1 to 7, I got to go with my 1 to 7 scale. I'm going to go high, 5.5. I think it's really brunchy.
Only 5.5?
That's 5.8.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's still some, like, you know, maybe it is higher than that. You're right.
There's really only one thing that's not brunchy about it, and there's, like, a kind of dark comic scene where it's, like, a bring your parent to work day or to school day,
mm-hmm.
Talk about your career, and it's, like, the cut to that scene, there's a fireman wrapping up his speech, and he says, and that's why third-degree burns are the worst pain you can possibly feel.
Yeah.
And, like, the kids are all there with a shocked look, and then the teacher says, well, thank you, and very sorry about your partner, implying that his partner was maybe burned all over his body by hot coals.
And he chose that way of dying as opposed to eating.
So I'm going
to
be the fire. You're saying I'm the fireman. I'm being cucked by the coals that burned you.
Yeah.
I'm in front of the kids telling them the pain.
Thank you for your service, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna up it. You made me. I kind of free-willied that score, 6.2. This might be one of the higher ones.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a warm. It's a kids. You know, it's not that bad. It's like watchable.
Yeah. So I'm gonna use. I'm gonna do a callback to Home Improvement. My scale is gonna be a full a toolbox of Binford tools, and so I'm gonna give it that toolbox, but it's like missing one or two sizes for your wrench. Okay. It's like you've kind of lost them over the time, so it's almost the complete set,
but not.
It's pretty close. Maybe you have some replacement tools that you kind of thrown in there.
If you had all the tools, be like Elf or something, like Home Alone.
Yeah, right? You know when you have like a ratchet with like the different size bolts,
right. And you're
like,
missing one.
You're
of
missing
bolts.
A couple of the bolts, yeah. So like it's like damn it, it's this size again that I don't have, and you can't find the right one that goes with your set, and you don't want to buy a new set, but yeah. It's so pretty brunchy, pretty close to 100%, but not quite there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, good one, good choice.
And so we won't keep you too long. Hopefully you're off to grandma's right now listening to the podcast in your horse-drawn sleigh, potatoes in your pocket. And just have to say very happy Christmas and a wonderful new year from Andy.
From Dave.
This has been Brunch Movies Christmas Special. And now we leave you with our brunch pairing for the episode. Please enjoy.
For the second course of brunch, Miss, my true love gave to me two pancakes and a poached egg in a pine wreath.
For the third course of brunch, Miss, my true love gave to me three French toasts,
two pancakes
and a poached egg in a pine wreath.
For the fourth day of brunch, Miss, my true love gave to me
three French toasts,
two pancakes,
and a poached egg in a pine wreath. For the fifth course of brunch, Miss, my true love gave to me five McGriddles,
four mimosas,
three French toasts,
two pancakes,
and a poached egg in a pine wreath. For the sixth day of brunch, Miss, my true love gave to me six cups of coffee, five McGriddles,
four mimosas,
three French toasts,
two pancakes,
and a poached egg in a pine wreath.
For the seventh course of brunch, Miss, my true love gave to me seven browns a-hashing,
six cups of coffee, five McGriddles,
four mimosas,
three French toasts,
two pancakes,
and a poached egg in a pine wreath.
For the eighth day course of Christmas, my true love gave to me eight Bloody Marys,
seven browns a-hashing,
six cups of coffee,
five McGriddles,
four mimosas,
three French toasts,
two pancakes,
and a poached egg in a pine wreath.
For the ninth course of brunch, Miss, my true love gave to me nine ladies dancing,
eight Bloody Marys,
seven browns a-hashing,
six cups of coffee, five McGriddles,
four mimosas,
three French toasts,
two pancakes,
and a poached egg in a pine wreath.
For the tenth day of brunch, Miss, my true love gave to me ten dims a-summing,
nine ladies dancing,
eight Bloody Marys,
seven browns a-hashing,
six cups of coffee, five McGriddles,
four mimosas,
three French toasts,
two pancakes,
and a poached egg in a pine wreath.
summons.
10 dims a summing.
9 ladies dancing.
30 Marys.
7 rounds of hashing.
6 cups of coffee.
5 McGriddles.
4 mimosas.
3 French toasts.
2 pancakes.
And a poached egg in a pine wreath.
For the 12th course of brunch, Miss My True Love gave to me 12 skillet scrambles,
7 smoked salmons,
10 dims a summing,
9 ladies dancing,
8 Bloody Marys,
7 rounds of hashing,
6 cups of coffee,
5 McGriddles,
4 mimosas,
3 French toasts,
2 pancakes,
and a poached egg in a pine wreath.